MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Bless Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsung with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
You're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Miss your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, it was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
That's 2,000 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Happy New Year, I guess, in a couple of hours. Well, depends if you listen to this live, then Happy New Year in a couple of hours. And if you're listening on the download, Happy New Year from yesterday. So this is Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. This is going to be not the last show ever, this is going to be the last show for a couple of months while I go on hiatus. But this is also the second annual Game of the Year show. Basically, where I sit down, which I am, and bore the shit out of you for 2 hours talking about the Game of the Year. Now, talk about some games that I played, and then I'll announce my Game of the Year. There's some mentions that I want to put in. But I say, you know, if you want to get in touch, which, you know, even though the show will be going off the air for a couple of months, you still email the show, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Also, if you do want to join the Facebook group, I posted some bits and pieces in there earlier, and there's something else I want to talk about in a few seconds, which I probably should save to the news, but it's so good I want to talk about it right now. Get yourself into it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like our Facebook page, up to 84 at the moment, getting good. Nearly to 100. Facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, I say, the thing I do want to talk about, There was a Lara Croft. It's basically called Croft. It's this fan film that was made. I'm not too sure who made it. Literally, I only watched it right before the show. So basically, it's a bit, you know. I don't have half the details, half the information, but it's on YouTube. Go and look it up. Look up, just type in Croft fan film. It's in the Facebook group, and it's amazing. It's about 20 minutes long. I'm not going to spoil it because it's so damn good. I mean, it's literally as good as the Sonic one with Jaleel White voicing Sonic. It's as good as that. It's that good. Maybe better. I don't know. But no, it's really good, and there's a twist at the end, which, to be honest, I didn't see coming. But it's really, really good. I recommend everyone goes and see it. But as usual, for the last time for a little while anyway, I'll get into what I've been playing, which is pretty much the same as last week, Pokemon. Believe it or not, I've been watching videos about, how... make your teams and that sort of stuff. And I saw this guy make his team, and I'm like, okay, I want one team like that, and I want one team like I'm sort of working on my own and just trying to sort of work stuff out. I mean, I went back to Pokemon Showdown, I think, yesterday or this morning, and I had a little go on that with this team this guy was using. And I almost won. He beat me just because... just the way I had one of my Pokemon set up was a Dragon type, and I got fucked over. I mean, I was using Garchomp, which is Dragon Ground, and this guy used Ice, and I had the wrong item. If I'd had this other item that I probably should have gone with, I would have maybe survived and then hit him with an attack and beat him. But basically, it was down to the wire, and it was a really good battle. I mean, because literally, considering this is a team that I'd sort of stolen from some other guy, when I do eventually make my own team of hit like that, I will make some tweaks to the setup, but it was a really good team, and I had a lot of fun sort of messing around with it. But I'm working on my own team, and I'm use this guy's team, and I'm not too sure what I'll use at Nationals next year. I mean it was still early, the game's only been out. It's weird, right? I started listening to some of my other Pokemon shows, and they've been talking about what they've been playing with it and what they've been doing and that sort of stuff, and it's weird. It's the game's only been out like 3 months. And it feels like so long, considering that how far I've come. I've eaten both games. I have literally got every TM, every O power, working on trying to get them all up to level 3. So much I've done with the game, and we've got like several users ahead of using X and Y. I mean, 3 years probably going to have, there's more Nationals. There's more. It's a weird feeling for me, considering that I do love Pokemon so much. Something else I just thought of, but I'll tell you that in a second. I want to do well, and go to Worlds and represent More Like Radio. That's what my eventual hope is. There's still 6 7 months ago. Yeah, 6 months I think now until six months now until Nationals in the UK. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I've been posting on several Facebook groups for people who are based over in England, like myself. And some people are going. Some people aren't. I'm looking forward to sort of meeting everyone. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully, this year's one. It's not 2014 yet. This year's one was really fun. I met a lot of people. Had tons of fun. Spent about 5 hours waiting around for us to get a battle in. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we're having problems at the moment. I mean, I'll explain more in the news, but the Pokebank, I was expecting it to come out on Friday. So was the rest of the world. And it's been like the longest fucking 3 or 4 days ever. I mean, I was just waiting for this one bloody app. Japan gets it. I mean, everyone's been going nuts. I've had to leave several Pokemon groups because I just keep seeing stuff about, they're just, doing stupid trades. Like for starters from previous generations, it's like, there's no need to, saying it now though, this was like about a week ago. I'm seeing all these trades going off about, starters for, legendaries. As I said to people, all you got to do is wait a couple of extra days and it will come out. And to be honest, it didn't come out when it was supposed to. Problems, all sorts, but I'll get into that in the news. But yeah, I say Pokemon, working on two different teams. Bits and pieces here and there. I've where the train station where I go to work every day, they've got a Nintendo Zone. So basically, I'm getting the Street Pass things on my 3DS. So I'm used doing more of the picture stuff, which is, you know, really fun. I'm sort of filling them all up. I've nearly finished my second go through of that castle. I'm literally on the second to last floor where I've got to fight these two armored soldiers. But it's one of those things. It's like you need the right. Need the right characters with the right shirts to use the right spells, and you know, it's one of those things. It's a pain in the ass, but no, it's really good. I mean, trust me, I actually probably should go on the internet and look up what is it, some sort of information, like a wiki about all the different characters that you can use. And you know, I mean, most of them are the only decent attacks you get are with the people who wear the red shirts, and the blue shirts are the, you know, fire and water. The light blue one, it freezes, and there's poison, which is okay. But you know, none of their actual physical attacks, like using a sword, do anything. But maybe there's a trick to it. But I have been playing a little bit in pieces. But I mean, my mate at work has been trying to get me to buy the Batman game again. I'm thinking about it. I'll probably wait till next month when I know there's a bit more money in my bank account. But you know, I might pick it up. You know, I'm not in a hurry, to be honest. I mean. You know, I mean, there's stuff I want to play, but I'm not in a super hurry. This is what makes me wonder for, like, you know, this time next year, I'll have my PlayStation 4, maybe an Xbox One, maybe. I don't know yet. I mean, considering that we're getting the new generation of consoles is now out, and we have, like, games coming sporadically throughout the next year. You know, we'll have whatever the next Call of Duty is, the next Assassin's Creed, probably not the next Battlefield. You know, bits and pieces that we have been getting rinse and repeat every year. And then some new titles, you know, Metal Gear Solid comes out next year. It's weird. I mean, this is the Game of the Year show where, I sit down and go over some bits and pieces that I think this has been good this year, this has been bad this year. From what I have seen, I mean, I think GameSpot made, I've got it on my list here, one second. They made, what the fuck is it? I think it was The Last of Us, I don't know, hang on. Tomb Raider, I think they made Tomb Raider their Game of the Year. And several other people have made, you know, some other stuff that we've got that have come out, you know, Bioshock and all that sort of stuff, like their Game of the Year. But it's weird, I haven't seen anything for the new consoles. I mean, Dead Rising 3, I mean, I know we've only just got the Xbox One, but the game looks good, and it, you know, I suppose it plays well. There's been no, I haven't heard any problems with it, unlike, you know, like Forza 5, stuff like that. I mean, you know, the game looks amazing, but it's a bit of a bastard, but, you know, I haven't heard anything, so, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's come out in such a short time, but I don't know. But I guess, that's me blabbering on for enough. I think I'll get into the Game of the Year stuff. I'm not going to go... I'll tell you what the best my Game of the Year is at the end of this, but I just want to go over some of the other stuff that I have played. I mean, I made a whole list of stuff that I played. I mean, you know, things like the beginning of the year, Devil May Cry. We got the reboot of the Devil May Cry... Devil May Cry franchise. This is a really good game. I actually did consider it as one of the top ones back at... after I played it a couple of times. Yeah, it is a really good game. So if you haven't got it, go and get it. I say it's got to be pretty cheap now, considering it came out nearly almost a year ago. This is a really great game, and I had tons of fun with it. I replayed level after level, sort of hunting all the orbs, trying to, you know, get all the keys. And I mean, it is an amazing game. I look back now, I do want to play it again, but. The story, the characters, it did have a sort of weird feel to it. I mean, it was sort of twisty, supernatural style type thrill ride. I mean, it's a really good game. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you've got to play. If you haven't played it, pick it up. It's probably really cheap right now. It's a really decent game. I mean, some of the stuff that I have played it. I mean, Dishonored. I got it for Christmas last year. And we got the DLC for it this year as well. Very good. A very good game. DLC was amazing. It's one of the best. I mean, because I don't really buy too much DLC, considering that it's... most of the stuff, DLC-wise, we get is sort of... you know, add-on maps, skin packs, that sort of stuff. Whereas actual decent, solid, story-based content, it's a bit lackluster. But, I mean, with Dishonored, it was really good. We got some extra parts into the... how the hell? You got to play as basically the assassin who killed the Empress, which is great. And then you sort of have it, there's, you know, a bit of it sort of set before... what the hell's the guy? I can't remember. The guy you play in Dishonored, the main guy, I can't remember his name. But, you know, you get to do bits before you meet him and then after. And, you know, it was a really good game. And, you know, it was one of those, it was like, what the hell was it? Like a first-person Assassin's Creed game. And it was really good. It was sort of, you know, trying to sneak around. I mean, I think I probably talked about this when I started playing it. I mean, it was one of the beginning levels. There's a part, if you go down this alleyway, you're going to get jumped by all these assassins. But if you go around the other way, you can jump the assassins, because they're all sort of literally looking for you down this alley. They're sort of lying in wait. But if you go, you know, behind them and sort of, I think that was what the spell was called. You could warp up behind them and then just basically just, you know, stab them or knock them out. And that was one of the big things that I loved about the game. It's literally, it was pretty much... Deus Ex, what I loved about Deus Ex after Deus Ex came out, because it was like, choose your own adventure, but choose your own path. It was like, you know, you could be a killer, or you could be a silent person, takes people down. You know, it's a great game. I mean, you know, another one I recommend to people, go out and pick it up. It's got to be dead cheap at the moment, and the DLC is a lot of fun. Pick it up. I mean, I think I've still got it somewhere, unless I've sold it. I don't know. You know, with my my Xbox being on the blink a bit. I don't think I've even turned it on at the moment. But yeah, I say Dishonored, really good game. I had tons of fun with it. You know, I did play through it several times as well, which was very helpful. I mean, other stuff. I mean, I only got one play throughout this, Diablo 3. I mean, Dutch of Dutch and Royce and Hippo Juice. He told me to buy it, so I did. Really good. You know, it's a weird one, because I was expecting what I got, but I was expecting to be dragged into it more. I mean, I know, like my mate, you know, we always, you know, play games together, and, you know, he goes for it like several times, like to higher difficulties, and just going round and round again, trying to get a better and better loot. But I'm like, well, you know, it's the same old principle. You know, I mean, I can go around and, you know, kill everything in the map, get all the gold, and, you know, it's nice getting newer and newer items, but it is pretty much rinse and repeat, which is okay for some games, but, I mean, I don't know, I'm just sort of thinking, this game has a lot of old school nostalgia and mentality for people who like the old fashioned. I mean, I'm a big fan of the old fashioned games. I'm very nostalgic for the sort of classic Final Fantasy games. Maybe I just didn't feel this. I mean, because as I said, well, I think when I got this this is my first Diablo game. I'd known of the series, but it was, you know, it was the first thing that. First one that I'd played, and, you know, I was happy with it. It was great. I just, you know, I mean, the last boss was fucking hard. And, you know, I mean, there's not many games that have bosses where, you know, it's literally do or die. It's literally respawn, respawn, respawn. But this one had consequences. But it was really, really good. I was going to say, XCOM Enemy Unknown. I bought it to pick it up to play it. I think I played it once. And then my Xbox died, pretty much, well, is dying on me, so I had to sell it. That was okay. You know, I never really got into it too much. I mean, I'm a big fan of the isometric strategy type games. I mean, Front Mission 3 for the old, for PlayStation. Great game, you know, it's on the PlayStation store. Go and pick it up. It's great. It's sort of, you know, customizing, onesers, which are basically mechs. You can sort of change them around. Very good game, worth picking up. What else would I have got on here? Batman Arkham Origins. I picked it up. It was okay. I wasn't too keen on it, but, you know, time I tried to start getting into it. My Xbox started dying. Other stuff, Thunder Wolves. This is a great game. This was the helicopter game I played. Where it had sort of, what was it? Like, it was like, like the Desert Strike, the Strike games, you know, Desert Strike, Urban Strike, sort of helicopter combat, lots of fun. It was not on rails, but very 80s American style feeling movie sort of thing, explosions and, you know, tons of fun as well. It was literally, you know, several different helicopters, different weapons, you know, tons and tons of destruction. And it did, you know, nostalgia feeling in this game for the old, you know, Strike games. Hopefully we can get the Strike games back. I was actually thinking about this the other day, and I was like, well, shit, I've got no problem playing in the old version. Can we just, like, put them up on the PlayStation Store or the Xbox Store and just, you know, say that, there you go, there's the old Strike games. I don't mind that they're, you know, from, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Just chuck them up and I'll play them like this. I mean, I'm still playing Final Fantasy VIII, and that game came out in the late 90s. You know, I've got no problem. Those are great games. But yeah, Thunderwolves, it captured my imagination and, you know, brought back some fond memories of the Strike games and what it did. I mean, you know, tons and tons of fun with it. Other stuff as well. I mean, say with Thunderwolves was an Xbox Live Arcade title. There's other stuff I picked up this year. I picked up Capcom Arcade Cabinet. I played it once or twice and I haven't gone back to it. It's one of those things. I've been a bit... It's a bit, you know, weird with me. I mean, I've picked up several things, which I'll go into in a second. But, you know, Capcom Arcade Cabinet, I had big high hopes for it. But some of the games are really damn hard. You know, basically, it shows the... it shows what the games were like back in the day. And, you know... how basically games have gotten easier to a certain extent, or, you know, I mean, but the thing is, though, the games back in the day were the coin-op games, so basically, you know, run out of continues, get yourself another quarter, or, you know, over here, you know, pound coins, you know, fuck, I'd get my dad on the show. How many times I've been playing arcade games and running up to him, can I have another pound, can I have another pound? I know he'd be listening to this and laughing his head off. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those sort of things, and, you know, with the Capcom Arcade Cabinet, Ghosts and Goblins, I think that was what it is. I mean, all those fucking ones are the same, girls and ghosts and that sort of shit. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I do probably should pick it up, just when it dust off my Xbox and, you know, see if it still works. But yeah, I mean, other stuff as well. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. Last year's Game of the Year title was Far Cry 3. So I picked this up, expecting pretty much the same. I mean, it did have a very nostalgic 80s theme. I think I got to one outpost and then just stopped. And it's like, I sort of felt like it was like a chore to play. I mean, it did okay, but it just, I don't know. It was one of those regret purchases. But I mean, I bought the orange box. Haven't really played that since either. You know, it just, stuff that's, you know, you're buying a whim, but, you know, I mean, Far Cry 3, the Blood Dragon, and the Capcom Arcade Cabinet, you know, they're there to play when I get around to it, but, I mean, you know, it's the same as my PlayStation 3. It's like, you know, half the titles on there, you know, I've got the, was it LAPD, that walking robot thing, I've got, you know, 6 or 7 Final Fantasy games on there, Metal Gear Solid, Theme Hospital, Theme Park, Constructor, you know, a bunch of stuff, but it is pretty much sitting there just gathering dust. I mean, you know, I just think about other stuff as well. One sec. Oh, it's better. But yeah, I mean, I said as well before I watched the that Tomb Raider, well, not Tomb Raider, the Croft fan film. But yeah, playing Tomb Raider this year, it's Tomb Raider. I mean, Tomb Raider, you know, worth picking up, people. It's a really good game. You know, it's something I had tons and tons of fun with. I mean, I think we've had some great games come out this year. I mean, the stuff on this list that I want to play again, I'd love to play Devil May Cry again. I don't think I want to play Tomb Raider again because I've played it and done it and, you know, I've literally finished nearly everything. I think this sort of game glitched out towards me, glitched me towards the end. I'm trying to get the final couple of percent I need to finish this map to get all the maps, but I couldn't find this one bomb or something and it was just annoying me. But yeah, that was done. Yeah, I mean, just think. I think about, you know. I'll talk more into it because literally I just sort of not skipping over it. But Tomb Raider, yeah. It's amazing how a franchise has come to reboot itself. I mean, I look at Devil May Cry, that's rebooted itself this year. Tomb Raider did it as well, as I said. You know, Tomb Raider came out in the late mid to late 90s. You know, went on to through midway through the last decade. You know, game after game after game, no real difference between any of it. But then you get this game where it's, you know, the graphics are better. The style of gameplay is great. I mean, it's one of those things. It's funny, the sort of, you know, I talk about Nintendo and PlayStation and how the copying stuff happens. Whereas you look at something like the Uncharted franchise, where it copied from Tomb Raider, and now you have the new Tomb Raider game where it copies from the Uncharted franchise. And, you know, I am looking to, I mean, after watching that Croft fan film, I'm looking forward to watching the I am looking forward to seeing what goes on with the new Tomb Raider game. I mean, I suppose there's a comic coming out, or it might be out. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not as into comics. I'm not following the comic trends because, you know, I don't have enough money to start reading comics again. But yeah, I mean, I am looking forward to reading that comic and then playing the new Tomb Raider game when that comes out in about, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years if we're lucky. But yeah, I think about other stuff, you know, Crysis 3. I was really excited for it. I'm not saying the game was bad. It was a great game, but it didn't really feel like a sequel, considering, you know, the multiplayer was fun. Not as fun as Crysis 2 or something. I mean, I know I'm just sort of repeating some of the stuff I've said before, but I mean, Crysis 3, it finished the story. I mean, I don't think we're going to get any more. We don't need any more. But I mean, the story for Crysis 2 was much better than the third one. The multiplayer for the second one was much better than the third. I mean, it did feel... It's weird. You know, people talk about games that have multiplayer and they think, well, the multiplayer's tacked on. But to be honest, the whole story for 3 feels like it was tacked on itself, you know. But, I mean, it did leave me with questions about considering the fact that... Well, I mean, you know, you follow the timeline of the game. You know, the start of Crysis 2, you're basically, I think you're someone else. You're not the original guy who was in the suit. You're not, I think, you were someone else in the first one. Then you become Prophet in the second one. But then the suit's given to someone else. But then the suit molds you into the guy before, you know. It's really weird to explain, but I was like, you know, go on the wiki, look it up. But it's very shocking of how the, you know, the basically the genetic memory stored inside the suit was passed over to the actual real human inside the suit, and then the suit changes the guy inside the suit to the person from its previous, to basically its previous owner. And you know, it did finish off the game great, and, you know, we're done with it. And, you know, it's Crysis 3. I'm trying to start, I can barely remember, like, bits and pieces of the game. But, you know, it was fun. It was fun. Using the bow, I mean, that has to be, like, probably the best weapon of 2013, thinking about it. You know, the bows. I mean, you know, we had the bow in Crysis 3, Tomb Raider, I think of any other games that we've had bows in. I think there was a bow in Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon. No, that's it, I think. But yeah, I mean, I look at other stuff on this list. Sorry, what am I looking at? Yeah, you know, I mean, I know it's not a current game. You know, I've started playing Resistance 2 again, which I need to finish. I'm nearly halfway through that, and I need to get through that and finish it off the next couple of days so I can get back to my mate. And then hopefully he'll let me borrow Ratchet and Clank. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of showing... It's like a sort of cross between a sort of benchmark and milestone for me with Resistance 2. It's like this... I mean, considering we have Resistance... shit, I'm getting tongue-tied. Somebody get me some alcohol. But no, I mean, we have... You know, Resistance 3 is out. This is the middle game in the series. I mean, they're not making any more Resistance games. Don't quote me on that. I'd love to see some more, but to be honest, I don't know how Resistance 3 ends, so I can't really say, you know, if we're getting one or, you know, And there's plus there's games that came out on the PSP and the PS Vita. I'm not too fussed. But yeah, Resistance 2, liking it. Just I need to get back into it and finish it off. What else? Injustice Gods Among Us. Great game. It was the DC fighting game that, you know, done by NetherRealm Studios, who do Mortal Kombat. Really good. Really, really good. Great playing as Batman. Kevin Conroy. Sir Kevin Conroy voicing Batman. Always cool. Some of you who, know me in the real world, I'll be watching Cheers. Can't stop watching Cheers. I mean, I think Cheers is much, MASH was one of my favourite, American shows. I think Cheers beats it now. But, Kevin Conroy's in a couple of episodes. And it was like weird because, this, we go about, 20 odd years ago. And it's like, it's sort of looking at him, it's like, it doesn't really look like it because I've seen like the older Kevin Conroy. But it's like, this is literally a few years before he started, being Batman. And it was like, wow, that's what he looks like, back then. And I was like, I just sort of weren't too sure because it didn't look like how I thought he'd look, considering that he has aged and got wrinkles and all sorts. But, there's hearing his voice, I was like, wow, that's Batman! And, sort of jumping around like a three-year-old. That was great to see. But, yeah, I mean, that was a great thing about the Injustice. I mean, they had the guy who that's Phil Lamar. Phil Lamar as John Stewart, Green Lantern, and... what the hell was it? I think he did Cyborg as well from Teen Titans. I mean, because it was in it. I mean, Injustice Gods Among Us was a great game, a really good story, and it flowed together like just how the story went in the recent Mortal Kombat game we got, which we need a new Mortal Kombat game, please. I mean, I'm a big fan of Mortal Kombat. I mean, this thing. When it comes to the fighting games, I'm more a fan of the actual lore and character history than the actual playing of the games. I mean, Street Fighter, I'm shit at. But, Mortal Kombat, I do okay. Not against people, obviously not. It's all those combos and counters and, it just confuses the shit out of me. Otherwise, I'll just throw my controller at somebody. That's a great game. It's worth playing. I didn't play it too many times because, there's only so much you can do with a fighting game when you're about as shit at it as I am. But, I had tons of fun with it. I had tons of fun. It was a great game. And the look, the feel, the characters. I mean, we're still getting DLC, but it's all skins and stuff. It's like, well, okay, what's the point of this? It's not, it's not what I want to play. I mean, we got more characters. We got Scorpion, and we got Martian Manhunter, and we got Zod. Who else did we get? I think we got someone else as well. But, I can't remember. But, we got some decent DLC for that. What else have we got? What else? Oh, this is going to piss off a bunch of people, probably bisexually Ian as well, because I know he loves this game. Biggest disappointment this year, I think, Bioshock Infinite. I played it. It was okay. I didn't get the feeling that... I didn't get as much love for it as I thought I'd get, to be honest. I mean, I was hoping for something, I don't know, maybe I was hoping for something similar to what we got from the original Bioshock game, which probably explains why the DLC we get is set in Rapture. The whole story thing, I mean, I'm going to spoil most of what I'm playing now, I'm going to spoil anyway, so if you haven't played it, tough. It felt very much like Fight Club, considering the fact that the character you're playing, Elizabeth, the girl you rescue, she's your daughter. And then basically the guy you kill at the end is you, but in a different alternate dimension. And it's like, well, shit, this feels very Fight Club-y, Brad Pitt is Ed Norton, that sort of Fight Club sort of thing. It's like... How does this work? And then they show the multiple universe, which, I mean, just the ending was great. I mean, I love the ending, how it showed you all the different lighthouses and the lights and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I know when Royce called in during the Bioshock Infinite, when I was talking about this, he called in and, we didn't want to spoil it for people, but we talked about the lights and stuff, the lighthouses. And when you walk out, you see all the other people, all the other versions of Booker walking with Elizabeth, and she's showing you all that sort of stuff, That was good stuff. But it was just, it just felt too much like Fight Club. I mean, you know, Fight Club's a great film. I probably should get myself to reading the book, but to be honest, I'm sitting there looking at my, my Andy McNabb book that I bought several months ago when, Pokemon came out, and I still haven't got past page 12. It's one of the things I should read. I know I should. But, you know, that's the thing. I mean, Bioshock Infinite, a load of people loved it. It's probably a whole load of people's game of the year. Just not mine, I'm afraid. You know, kudos to it. You know, it just... I don't know. I just... I don't know. I just don't think anything could top the original Bioshock. I mean, I loved Bioshock 2. See, I can't remember anything, but the multiplayer was great about it. But we sort of go back to Rapture. But yeah, I mean, that was fun. I enjoyed that. But I don't know. I just didn't feel it. I just didn't feel what this game was supposed to be. Where are we going next? Let's have a look. Lego Batman 2. I think this came out last year or the year before. I got around to playing this. I also watched the movie of it, which is basically all the cutscenes put together. I'll certainly have a drink. Oh, that's better. Oh, just drinking Pepsi. Minus the alcohol. Yeah, Lego Batman 2. A lot of fun with that. I mean, I'm a big sucker for Batman games. I mean, for Batman and for Lego. I mean, you know, for Christmas I got a couple of Lego books from the family. I got the Star Wars Lego character collection, like a sort of encyclopedia on all the Star Wars characters in their Lego form. And then I got a book of Lego Batman book, which is amazing, by the way. And I want to pick myself up a couple of pieces. But yeah, and it, you know, had like all the Batman models, the Batman play sets, Lego form, you know, like sort of catalog sort of thing. So basically I'm sort of sitting there, you know, and I want that. But no, I mean, each one came with, I think the Lego Batman came with the electric suit Batman, which is pretty cool. And the Star Wars one came with, I think a Han Solo figure. But yeah, it was actually really, really good. But yeah, Lego Batman 2, a really great game. I mean, I could have gone more into it. It was a really good game. I mean, you know, you play Superman, and then you start flying into the air, and they start playing the Superman theme. I was like, how fucking great is this? I mean, you know, I know Chris Go from the Gentleman Show, who, you know, the show you should listen to on morelikeradio.com. I message him about this. You know, if he eventually gets himself a console that's not, you know, 15 years out of date. I know, you know, he'd love to play Lego Batman 2, you know, eventually get the Superman. He'd be, like, flying around Gotham all the time. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's tons of different characters and, you know, so much to do with Lego Batman 2. I think my version sort of glitched somewhere during the save and I don't know. But, no, that was a great game. Tons and tons of fun with it. Another arcade game, Castle Storm. Really good. I never finished it. But I got near the end, actually. This was a sort of take on, like, Worms, I think. You know, basically, you had a castle, and your enemy had a castle, and then you would send troops to theirs to destroy their castle. Basically, it was, you know, a tower defense sort of thing. You destroy each other's castles, but then you send out troops and, you know, use the catapults. And I mean, this is one of the best games that I've been playing this year. You know, I've been looking forward to it for quite a while. It was a really, really good one. You know, the graphics are great. It's very funny. You sort of, you know who the bad guy is right from the get go, even though it's sort of, don't look behind the curtain and, you know, it's kind of obvious, but it is a really fun game. Try and turn my Xbox on, see if it goes and, you know, try and play some more. I know I'm sort of stuck on one or two of the levels, but, you know, I think this came out last year, Borderlands 2, but we've got a lot of the DLC this year. I mean, you know, DLC-wise, you know, I said about, Infinite Gods Among Us, and, where's it gone off the list? Where's it gone? Sorry. So one of the things I was talking about, DLC. But, What was I talking about? God, I'm losing my mind. Not Castle. Shit, I've lost my train of thought. God, oh, damn it. What the fuck's going on with me? Oh, crap, I can't believe it. I literally don't know. My mind's drawn a blank. What the hell was the... yeah, shit. God, I feel like an arse now. Not Dishonored. Yeah, Dishonored. Yeah, Dishonored had a great DLC. And so the game I've just mentioned, I can't remember what the fuck it's called. Lego Batman. Nope. What the hell was I just talking about? I've completely forgotten. Fuck it, I'll come back to it. But no, other stuff that I have, you know, great games that I played this year. Saints Row 4. I think that's what I was saying. Yeah, Saints Row 4, that came out this year. I mean, this was sort of a precursor to Grand Theft Auto 5. It was the open world, craziness, combat sort of thing that we've all, you know, been wanting to play. And, you know, it's basically more Saints Row. And this, it's kind of weird. It did feel... It sort of felt, you know, what we were supposed to be getting from it. It's not sort of broken. It's an open world game, but it wasn't exactly, it wasn't a driving sort of simulator type thing. It was your character gets superpowers and you can fly and run at high speeds and you can do whatever you want and you can punch people into dust and, you know, have special powers. And, you know, I mean, the game took me about a weekend to complete. But yeah, it was a really, really fun game. I mean, you know, if you want to pick it up. It's probably really cheap. I mean, there's tons of DLC coming out for it. I mean, they even talk about a new one. But, the way Saints Row ended, basically with the whole planet getting blown up. I don't really know how you can do a fifth one, but I'm looking forward to seeing them try. I don't know if I'll bother picking it up. Another sequel. I mean, we got, say, next thing on my list here, Metro Last Light, which I sort of had a little bit of a single tweet with the people behind it. Was it Deep Silver? Hello, guys, if you're listening. Maybe not, probably not. Matty says, where's the dollars away? Yeah, damn it. Metro Last Light. I mean, I'm a big fan of the previous game. I've sort of halfway through the first book, more of the actual world of the Metro subway system, the apocalypse. I mean, it actually makes me wanting to read more sort of wasteland apocalyptic style books. But you know, trying to find stuff that's worth reading and something that's made today, with sort of someone with a today sort of imagination. I mean, most of the stuff I did find was written like 30, 40 years ago. And it's like, yeah, I want sort of, current day sort of apocalyptic sort of thing to read. But, Metro Last Light, great story, plot twist. I don't think we're going to get another one, to be honest, the way the bad ending is. I still haven't seen how the good ending was, which is a shame, to be honest. Because, I do need to see it. I will eventually, I've been saying that, though. I did say last year when I did the Far Cry 3 game of the year, I still haven't played the multiplayer. I still haven't. I mean, my mate still got my copy of the game. I need to make sure I get that back off him, sometime soon. What else on this list? Disappointments. Yes, I mean, you heard me shouting sort of hoarse about it. The Hitman HD trilogy, how terrible that was. Basically just ports and, one of the discs doesn't even work on your Xbox unless you plug in the old cables. And it's like, well, shit, why would you do this, you lazy, lazy bastards? And that was basically my rant. But no, when it compares to stuff like, Hitman Absolution we got this year, how amazing this game. I do want to play through this game again. I might just... pick it up on the PlayStation to play it again. I'm a big fan of the Hitman series. I mean, what they've done, there's a thing, we have these old classic, not classic games, well, not old or classic, 10, 15 years old, how gaming, game mechanics have changed and improved. We have Hitman, we have Tomb Raider, I don't know if we can count Devil May Cry in that list. I mean, that sort of stuff's changed. But yeah, the whole, you know, when it comes to sort of maneuvering around maps, that sort of stuff, doing certain things, you know. But, you know. Oh, hang on, I don't know what I was talking about with the DLC. Yeah, so basically, Hitman Absolution, a really good game. I recommend it if you pick it up. But yeah, I mean, I remember what I was saying now. Borderlands 2, that was what I was talking about. Yeah, I mean, even though the game came out last year, we got all the DLC this year. But, I mean, I was saying to my mate, because he picked it up on, I think, on the PlayStation Store, I think it's like £8 or £9, so it's probably really cheap in dollars. I'm drinking Pepsi, so I'm a bit gassy. But, yeah, I mean, the one of the best bits of DLC that I've seen was the... God, I can't remember the character's name. The little girl from Borderlands 2. The final bit of DLC, which is like sort of the epilogue, the closure on Borderlands, where, you know, spoilers, you know, because Roland dies, which not broke my heart, but it was like, he was a great character, and then you just sort of kill him, you know, like, you know, I mean, Bloodwing dies as well, but you kill Bloodwing. But, I mean, you know, Roland gets killed by Handsome Jack, you know, and then, but the epilogue DLC with, you know, I can't remember what the hell the name is. Damn it, can't remember. But no, I mean, you know, how they're playing this game, and she sort of, you know, adds Roland into the game, and so he'll be here soon, you know, even though she knows he's dead. But then at the end, she comes to term with it. You know, it's basically a sort of, you know, I think that's the thing, what I like about Borderlands 2 is, like, it pushes, it's funny and it's quirky, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. And that's what made me think of, you know, wonder when I was playing the DLC, the not Mad Moxie, Tiny Tina. There we go. Yeah, the Tiny Tina's whatever the hell Dungeons and Dragons style game thing. And it's like, well, you know, she tries to include Roland, and he was, you know, a great friend to her. And, you know, and you learn about her parents and all sort of stuff. But then it's like, you know, at the end, it's like she breaks down and starts crying, you know, how she misses Roland. And, you know, everyone gathers around and tries to, you know, console her. And then, you know, at the end, you're putting up the statues of Roland and Bloodwing, you know, the people you've lost. And then, you know, Brick lifts her up. She kisses Roland's cheek at the statue of Roland. And it's just so, you know, so serious for a game that doesn't take itself seriously. Well, you know, it probably does, but, you know, it goes with the flow and tries to be as fun as possible. And it's like a sort of a serious moment amongst all this fun and, jovial holiday and, you know, that sort of stuff. And it was a really good bit of DLC. And, you know, it's one of the best ones I've played. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Borderlands 2, you know, it's on sale on the PlayStation Store, pick it up. You know, all these games I've said, you know, apart from the shit ones, you know, worth picking up. What else have I got left? Oh, Spartacus Legends. We got this for free. I played it a little bit. It's quite fun. My mate played it at work. He had a bit of fun with it. That's it, really. I haven't got too far. How many have I got? 1, 2. Pokemon. There we go. No, not my game of the year still. You know, there's a couple more games to talk about before I go into it. It's weird. I mean, it doesn't, I mean, I'm not a big one of saying this, BioShock 3 was, you know, BioShock Infinite was BioShock 2.5, but with Pokemon, it sort of felt like, and everyone else I know has sort of said that as well. It basically, I mean, we added the fairy class, the fairy type this generation. I mean, we added 3D, you know, 3D characters and movements and 3D battles, and it looks amazing. It really, really does. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to the Nationals next year, seeing everyone again and having tons of fun with it. But yeah, I mean, the story was very lackluster. It's the usual shit. It was basically, there's a bad guy, there's a bad team, you fight them, you win, you get a legendary. You know, it's the same old. I mean, there is no real, you know, nuance to it. It's literally, it's the same old. It's, what we've got before, and you know, in future generations, what we'll still get. But you know, I'm looking forward to getting the Poké Bank when that eventually comes out, because you know, I need some stuff to. I want to transfer my Pokemon across, and there's other Pokemon in there that I want to have access to. That's the thing as well. I did find this video on. I know I'm coming up to the close to the hour, but I've got a few more games to talk about before I go into the game of the year. I think one or two more, and then just the game of the year, and I'll talk about that for a bit, and then I'll take a break. But this is like, I found this video about breeding and stuff, and it was like, I thought it'd be really good. It was sort of like. It confused me at first, then I understood it, but it was basically, I've been told it's pretty much the same way that most people breed. It's sort of RNGing, which still eludes me, sort of. But it's basically every Pokemon, when you breed it, it sort of breeds something automatically. You know, some of the stats are passed down through, a certain sequence, and it knows it before even eggs been brought out and hatched. But you know, I tried to do that, and it took ages. So basically, I've gone back to my old method of trying to get a Pokemon with as many stats in one, and then try and do it with the same with another, and then bring it together to hopefully get five or six. But I did, you know, a bit of poker fact for everyone. When your Pokemon does have five perfect IVs, that if you go to the judge, your rating will always be outstanding once you have those five. So you have, you know. Makes it easier for me, because it did make me wonder why I was getting all these perfect perfect IV Pokemon with outstanding rating, and it's because they all pass it on to each other. But yeah, Pokemon not exactly game of the year, but it was pretty good. Just let me look for my list. I'm just trying to think. Sorry, just making sure I've double checked everything and I've gone through everything. Yeah, pretty much one more game, and then it's the game of the year. What I'm going to say is my game of the year this year. GTA 5, not my game of the year. You know, I probably should be, considering that, you know, I did, you know, one and three quarter playthroughs for this. But to be honest, I mean, we still don't exactly have a full... I mean, comparing this to the game of the year in the way the game's come out, I mean, we're still waiting on tons of stuff for the online mode for Grand Theft Auto... For Grand Theft Auto 5, you know, I mean, it was Royce's game of the year. You know, this is his nomination. But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I mean, the characters are great, the story was great, what you could do was great. I mean, the online mode I would love to have played in. But there was tons of problems with it. With, you know, with the fact that they gave us like $500,000 of in-game currency, which, you know, I spent most of it on an apartment. And that was the last time, you know, when we got that money, that was the last time I played it. But yeah, I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5, it's kind of weird. I mean, as I know, I remember saying when we got Saints Row 4. Saints Row 4 came out, and I completed it in about a week. Grand Theft Auto did about 2 weeks. But pretty much did everything, then went through it again and did most of it again. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun, and it's a really good game. And, you know, being in San Andreas, we get to see all the old spots. You know, the CJ's house wasn't CJ's house. You know, but you know, you go to Grove Street, and I mean that mission I thought was great. That mission where you you go to Grove Street with Trevor and try and do the drug deal, and then basically you get like the whole street fills up with like dozens and dozens of Grove Street members, and then you're basically just trying to shoot your way out of it, and then the police show up. I mean, you know, that was one of the best parts of this game. I mean, when the police running from the police, having a cone of vision. I mean, that's the thing. That's one of those things that the game has evolved over previous titles, like, you know, Tomb Raider, Hitman. But, you know, it is a really good game, and, you know, I'm a big, this has probably been the best, I think, joint best, I'd say, my favourite Grand Theft Auto games, this and Vice City. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great game, just not exactly my game of the year, which I'll talk about in a second. But, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun. I mean, this GTA 5, you know, sold millions of copies, made over $1 billion, set you know, put loads of record, you know, broke new records. It's done a lot. It's done a lot for the gaming industry, you know, as a whole and as a medium. It's a really good game, and you know, everyone should play it. And just everyone's probably already got it. It's just something more else I can talk about because most of you lot have the game already. But I will go into my game of the year, and this year's game of the year is Assassin's Creed 4. Probably not what what most people would say for the game of the year. But this year I'm going to go with Assassin's Creed 4, to be honest. It's kind of weird. I mean, I'm reading loads of posts of sort of, this is the Assassin's Creed game without the assassins, which, to be honest, is kind of true. I mean, I've been watching Eligible Monster. I can't praise them enough. They have a load of videos on Assassin's Creed on their, look up on YouTube, Eligible Monster, follow them on Twitter. I've interviewed them on the show about a year or so ago, sort of just around this time anyway, when the Assassin's Creed 3 came out. I mean, this sort of had what I liked about Assassin's Creed 3, basically the sailing and the pirating sort of stuff. This is probably my most expensive purchase this year, considering that I got angry and threw my controller at my TV and had to buy a new TV. Assassin's Creed 4, no problems with the multiplayer. Haven't really tried it because, I'm done with the multiplayer for Assassin's Creed 4. It's a really solid game. It added more to the story, and it's one of those things. I think it's probably what pushed it over the edge for me, making it my game of the year, is that, it filled in what happens. I mean, because the way Assassin's Creed 3 ended with Desmond dying, it left us as such a cliffhanger. It's like, I had to know what happens next. And I sort of know. I mean, with Assassin's Creed 4, you're pretty much some sort of random character. You're pretty much you, basically. And, you work for Abstergo. You're doing, their business, and you're hired. Some of the stuff doesn't make sense exactly. I mean, because I'm just thinking about, because you're contacted by John, the guy who works in the IT department, to go and find all this information, and then you're supposed to give it to basically the people who are with Desmond when it came to Sean, the guy with glasses, and there's Natalie. I think she was the other girl who was with you, and it's like, but you were sort of working for John, but you sort of weren't. And some of it's a bit twisted and convoluted. But I mean, just, I am looking forward to when they do start ending the Assassin's Creed series, because there's stuff that happened in this one which sort of doesn't make sense considering what happened to the character. I mean, this thing this game still left me asking questions about what happens at the end. And, we're getting DLC that's actually better than what we got with 3, because, to be honest, 3 was an alternate history DLC, whereas this is basically actual characters in the game that you're playing as them. I had so much fun with this game. I mean, my mate's playing this now. I think he's got my copy of this. And, the pirating, hours and hours I spent on my days off, literally just sitting here on the sofa, just hunting ships, trying to get as much sugar and rum together as possible so I can sell it to get money, and then try and get all the woods and the metal, try and basically, upgrade the ship as much as possible, doing all the hunting missions, doing some, getting all the Templar keys so I can get the armor. I mean, there's just so much to do in this game. There's so much to do in Grand Theft Auto 5. This game really did it for me, and basically just having fun, and it made me want to know more about the story and the characters and how it fits in. I mean, I love the I was sort of surprised when the game did end, because it was like, I thought we had like a couple more missions, but it wasn't. It was basically they were the epilogue cutscenes. I mean, when at the end of the game, you and your daughter come back to England, and then there's a scene where it's like, I think, was it 5-10 years later, where you're in a theatre, which is basically sort of where Assassin's Creed 3 starts. But you're there with your daughter, who's a bit older now, and little Haytham. And it's quite funny. It's sort of, you know, pick up the little bastard and chuck him over the edge to stop the events of Assassin's Creed 3. But it does make me sort of, you know, it does make me feel good that, you know, the story sort of wraps itself up with the certain characters. But it does make me wonder now where they're going to go with Assassin's Creed 5 or whatever the next game is. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I'm a big fan of the series. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to if they do decide to make another Dead Space, which they should just to finish the whole thing off. You know, I'm a big fan of the story, and, you know, long winding story arcs and interwoven plot lines are great. I mean, you know, as you lot know, I'm a big fan of the Metal Gear Solid series, as, you know, long winded and convoluted as that is. But yeah, I mean, Assassin's Creed 4 is my game of the year this year. You know, as soon as I get back from my mate, I still want to do more hunting. You know, I've got other bits and pieces to find. I need to get more metal and wood to upgrade the ship more, to find more elite plans. I mean, the using the diving bell to get some of the treasure chests. You know, there's still so much I can still do in this game, even though I finished it. I mean, the real world stuff was quite fun, hacking the computers, the mini games there. You know, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I don't think it was a single moment. I mean, to be honest, I mean, the game had its downsides. I'm not, you know, there is no perfect game. But, you know, the game had its downsides. I mean, me and my mate have been talking about this. It's like the constant chasing, the racing type things where you have to chase after your target, or you've got to sort of, you know, watch from the shadows and follow someone. There was so much of that in this game. It was unreal and annoying. But, I mean, you know, just let me, you know, go to my own devices. Let me go on my ship. Just, you know, going sailing to the open waters, fight several ships at once, blasting away with the cannons. And it was, you know, it was like the greatest part of Assassin's Creed 3, but made into a whole game. But, you know, everyone's, you know, basically, as I'll repeat what everyone said, you know, this is the Assassin's Creed game without the Assassin's Creed. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's the game I had most fun at. Even though, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5, a very, very close second, but mainly because I didn't really choose it, because basically everyone else has chosen it. And Assassin's Creed means more to me than, you know, because, you know, with the Grand Theft Auto stuff, it changes, your character changes every game, whereas Assassin's Creed, there is a sort of centralised character and a story flow, random story flow at the moment, to the actual thing. But, yeah, I had a lot of fun with Assassin's Creed this year, and, you know, I'm looking forward to see what they do next. But I need to take a break, because literally I'm exhausted after talking for a whole hour. Whew, I need a break. And I will be back in about 10 minutes with your news and your rest of the end of the year roundups. And I'll see you in a few minutes.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, or not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your haircut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging your cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard. Kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe!
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Hey.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh. Who are you joining next?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, this song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric?
I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What?
Oh, yes.
What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only pro wrestling can do that to each other and then follow it up with a hundred covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no, no, no. Stop. Oh, no.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? Stop. Not as painful as that. Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Bounce, down, bounce, down. Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Wow, down, bow, down. Wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
And murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for Lust, Betrayal, and Murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot! Stan... You're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
She's buried right in my backyard. That's right, folks. She's buried right in my backyard.
And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio live on morelikeradio.com. Thanks again, Matty. I love that rejoinder. I'm literally just laughing my fucking head off. That is too damn funny. I need to watch that episode of South Park again. We'll go into the news now, as I've got about 45 minutes left. New Year's Revolution for Gamers. I got this off Gaming Forum right before the show. I saw this and I think it might be interesting. As you know, usually trying to bring up some decent, interesting topics for the news segment. So I don't understand this, but it says in issue, I think this is to do with the Game Informer or the podcast, or I don't know. They said they took it upon themselves to supply our favourite game developers and publishers with a list of New Year's resolutions. However, game makers aren't the only ones with room for improvement. Players also have a variety of annoying behaviours we could live without in 2014. Rather than trust gamers to reflect their own habits, we put together this handy list of resolutions to choose from. I promised to figure out how to work the parents' controls on the system I just bought for my children. I vow to mute my microphone when playing online multiplayer games in a room full of barking dogs. Jesus, when's it... screaming children or annoying music. Yeah, to be honest, that's never going to happen, but it'd be nice. As well as during extreme bouts of mouth breathing. So I don't know. Has anyone playing with Punchy recently? Rather than using the phrase "reviews are just opinions" as the preamble to a lengthy condemnation of someone else's thoughts in the game, I'd actually believe it and agree to disagree. I promise to stop naming Electronic Arts the worst company in America simply because I don't like their microtransactions when there are companies out there that literally ruin people's lives. Yeah, that makes sense, but EA is still going to be named the worst company next year, mainly because, 2 years in a row, people will still do it, you know. Instead of berating others for preferring a different platform than I do, I vow to shut up and appreciate how many gaming options we have nowadays. 360 on 420, everyone. Before I live stream a game on my fancy new next-gen system, I promise to put pants on. is Hammy doing something like that? I probably should look into, when I do get my next gen system, I should look into that sort of stuff. The streaming stuff. I vow to stop treating user review scores as a voting mechanism for whatever gaming trend I'm currently upset about. I promise to block any game I play from auto posting messages to social media sites because no one cares. Basically. I mean, there's several people on my friends list on Facebook who do that. I don't care, but it's nice to know how well they're doing. I vow to stop complaining about the lack of innovation in AAA games since I don't bother buying games that try new ideas anyway. I kind of agree, but kind of disagree with that one. But, it's nice that someone's actually thinking about that sort of thing. I promise to stop making sexy cosplay outfits, based on characters that were never meant to be sexy. In fact, I promise to stop cosplaying in general. Oh, that's that could damage a whole community of people. A lot of friends of mine are into that as well. After typing out the snark is the most inflammatory reply I can muster in an online comment that I disagree with, I promise to delete it without posting it. I promise to stop using content creation tools to make dongs. On second thought, I vow to stop making New Year's resolutions that I know I won't keep. Yeah, that was quite fun. It's the usual shit we complain about, to be honest. When it comes to, when it comes to stuff, that we're gonna, moan about as a gaming community. I mean, I was literally on Twitter before the show, having a look around and Jonathan Blow's been talked about, but he was moaning about the Zynga games, was it Farmville, about how it's not a game, it's all basically a structured escalation of doing something to get a reward, and his views. I'm like, you ripped off Mario and Donkey Kong and made your own game out of it. You don't have any right to talk about this sort of shit, you pompous bastard, asshole. And it's like, I think it's so funny how people credit him. I mean, yes, Braid was a great game, but basically it's Mario with time travel elements. And it's, I don't get
why he's getting all this, you know, praise and stuff. I mean, you know, I think I said last week, I watched the indie game, the movie. It's like in that, you see the side-by-side comparison of Donkey Kong and Braid. It's the same fucking thing. It's not like he did anything, you know, super, super intelligent. It's just basically ripped off something that's thing. But also, I think Zynga does that anyway. Here we go. This is talk about the fan film earlier. Non-profit group creates Tomb Raider fan film. A group of friends published Croft, a short film based on the Tomb Raider series on YouTube last week. Croft is a non-profit project created purely for entertainment and for showcasing the group's filmmaking talents. And they're really, really good, to be honest. I've seen a lot of fan stuff, and this is really, really good. According to its profile page, Croft is a... Oh, here we are, yeah. Cannes Cinema's first project published on YouTube. The film follows the enormous eponymous Lara Croft as she rescues a group of friends taken hostage by mercenaries. The mounting setting is reminiscent of the Tomb Raider reboots for earlier this year, as are Lara's attire and equipment. But there's a twist in the story which I'm not going to mention, but you should watch it, because basically half of what I've read isn't true if you watch the film, but I think they wrote this here because they don't want to spoil it, which, you know, I don't want to spoil it either. It's about 20 minutes long. If you have YouTube on your Xbox or your PlayStation, go on there, watch it on a nice big screen TV, and you'll have lots of fun. It's a really good, I watched it as I was setting up tonight. It's really good. I might watch it again later before I go to bed. It's really good. There we are. Pokemon news. I talked about this earlier. This is from IGN. Pokemon Bank and Pokemon Transport are delayed due to Nintendo network outage. We apologise for the delay and thank you for your continued patience. Now, I've had a lot of fun with this. I have some sort of things like meme app on my iPod. And it's basically, it came up with the Oprah Winfrey, the cars, you get a car and that. So I basically just went on there, you don't get Pokebank and you don't get Pokebank. And I just posted this every Facebook group I could and got a lot of likes from it. But yeah, I mean, we were supposed to get the Pokemon app the other day and we haven't got it yet. And we don't know when we're getting it, but I don't know. I'm sort of... It's actually surprising because I actually did go through my copy of Black 2 and look at how many of the Pokemon I did have on there, the actual hacked Pokemon, and it's more than I thought I'd be. So basically, I sort of deleted all them to get rid of them, and I'm sort of breeding others that I know were hacked and just sort of, try to send them across and do something with them, So basically, I can fill up my Pokedex. Basically, I mean, I was hoping to get pretty much the shiny charm straight away. When I do send them across, but because of certain, most of them are hacked, I can't. Basically, it's like the first 150 that, there's most of them are hacked from there, but because of, the Wonder Trade, just sort of sending stuff across, But no, that's all going well. But no, I'll read this article. Pokemon Bank and Pokemon App Services were supposed to be released today. This is from last week. On December 27th, but has been delayed due to problems that Nintendo's online network services and eShop had over the Christmas holidays. The problem was caused when more gamers than Nintendo anticipated tried to use their online services to link their Nintendo network ID with a Nintendo 3DS and 2DS. Unfortunately, during the outage, folks had trouble accessing the eShop for the Wii U and the 3DS, purchasing, download content, creating or editing a Nintendo Network ID. The service has been restored for many gamers around the world, but regarding the Pokebank and Poketransporter, Nintendo said it's not coming today, and that they apologise for the delay and thank you for continued patience. This app's going to be at $5 in the States. I think it's about the same price over here. Basically, it's 100 boxes. You can store up to 3,000 Pokemon. It's a pain in the arse. I know me and basically the rest of the world who play Pokemon still, which is a good couple of million of us. We want this app because, I want to get my hands on my shiny Charizard. I want to, complete my national decks, have every single Pokemon registered, and, basically, finish off Pokemon, and, I can get around to sort of breeding, breeding, what the fuck is it, what I'm trying to say, breeding 5 IV Pokemon of every single type, and that finish that off, then I can start working on my, halfway between working on my teams, but I'm hoping we'll have something done in the next couple of days, but I don't know. I mean, if it comes out soon, I'll be happy, but it just pisses us all off with this delay stuff. But, we'll get it eventually. I'm looking forward to when it does come out, but we'll have to wait. I mean, I'm not even sure if I'm going to bother with, actual keeping the bank. Like, once I've sent them across, I don't know if I'll bother with it still having it around. But I don't know. But I mean, this whole thing has been going on for a couple of days. I've shut the store down, put it back up again, tried to work on it and fix it. But it's got its faults, and they're working on stuff, and as you can hear from my voice, I'm tired of the whole Pokemon Bank thing. I just want it to be up like everyone else does, and we get access to it. But it's just going to take a bit more time, I think. Here we go. Yes, this is from IGN. Capcom explains Resident Evil's success. When you talk about survival horror games, Resident Evil can't be ignored. Capcom recently looked back on its long-running series and explained why its Resident Evil became so popular. After Resident Evil 5 earned record-high sales for the series, Capcom looked at what it could do better in the sixth entry. The result, Resident Evil 6, sold over 5 million units, despite mixed criticism. The game was okay, but it wasn't... it wasn't what we wanted, and it wasn't what we deserved. But it's what we got, so we had to live with it. I mean, I played it. I know, friends of mine played it. People liked it. People didn't like it. I mean, to be honest, the CGI movies that we've got from Resident Evil have been better than this game. But maybe something soon we'll see. I don't know. We'll see something different. But I can't read this article. Why has Resident Evil been able to sustain the level of success for 17 years, asked Capcom. The secret lies in its elaborate settings and world. Horror is a common entertainment genre around the world, but Resident Evil adopted the setting of an epidemic disaster that could be a reality rather than a wild fantasy in order to make the horror convincing. It's one of those things that does worry me eventually if we do, messing with genetics and all sort of stuff. We'll have zombies, It's a possibility, if fucking scientists are mad these days. Capcom continues. The main characters have made many appearances spanning all the titles and getting older and more mature as the series goes on. A character who was a rookie police officer when he debuted as a member of an organization under direct control of the president in the latest game, and a powerless young girl has matured into a US agent rather than fading away over the 17 years. They have become even deeper characters. Yeah, I mean, as a rookie cop Leon was, as they mention here, compared to how he is now, it's like a much cooler character and a great character. He's probably even better than Chris Redfield. I mean, just Chris Redfield, great character in the first game, but has become a bit of a bitch over the years. But then you go Sherry Birkin, who was, William Birkin's daughter. She was innocent, scared, and now she's a strong, independent person. Lastly, Capcom cites a constant swapping of development and producer talent for every title, with each creator adding their own touch to the strong Resident Evil identity. Earlier this year, Capcom confirmed Resident Evil 7. Former Capcom marketing boss Patterson said they're taking feedback for Resident Evil 6 into consideration, as many said it was bloated. So basically, we will be getting a Resident Evil 7, but with what we got from Resident Evil 6, I mean, yes, it was okay, but yes, it was bad. mean, the Leon story was probably the better way of how it went. It did feel more, it felt more like how Resident Evil should be, and it's kind of weird. I mean, I think Capcom should look towards how Dead Space was with their closed in horror based. You know, I mean, I know, Stuart will agree with me on this. When you're traipsing through the snow on the planet when you get to it, and all the xenomorphs, they just jump out of the snow and try to attack you. You know, that sort of jumping horror sort of gameplay. You know, it needs to be more like that. I mean, you know, I said at the beginning of the show when I was talking about how Tomb Raider was with, you know, with Uncharted. You know, you had Tomb Raider, then you had Uncharted took stuff from Tomb Raider, and then you got Tomb Raider taking stuff from Uncharted. Resident Evil, then you had Dead Space taking stuff from Resident Evil, and now Resident Evil needs to take stuff from Dead Space to get them back onto the horror track. I mean, you know, Resident Evil 5 wasn't exactly a horror game. It was a more action-orientated game. But if we could get something that was, you know, that was more, you know, horror-based from it, if you want to do that, you know, go back to your ways. Have less ammo. Have, I don't know, tougher zombies. Maybe a higher difficulty level, or, you know, jumping shocks. You know, the dog, I mean, fucking every time that scared me, you know, back in the first Resident Evil in the mansion, you're walking down the hallway and the dogs jump through the window. That scared the shit out of me. Even when you go outside for that first time where there's that sort of rusty little container thing, and then you hear the running and running, and then you just see, like, you turn around, there's like a dog jumps over the fence to you. That was scary. I mean, you know, it's the jumping shocks. That's what scare people these days, you know. But, I am a big fan of Resident Evil series. I mean, I have been playing it since pretty much the get-go. I mean, I was looking on the PlayStation Store, I think it was yesterday, actually. The Resident Evil it was like the 1, 2, and 3 bundle. You know, I'm tempted to pick it up, but I don't know. Yeah, I should, but I don't know if it sort of still holds up and it's still worth playing. But, yeah, I don't know. Okie dokie, sorry, here we go. Yes, this will do. Got about half an hour left to try and find some. It's a thing, it's, you know, I'm having trouble finding decent topics to talk about this week, because, I mean, you know, half the websites I actually went to haven't had a news article since, I think, Games Radar haven't had a decent news article since the 20th. I think CBG hasn't had one since like before Christmas, and, you know, trying to find stuff is a bit tricky. It is a slow news period, as it's the Christmas and New Year's holidays. This is my IGN. Kojima contrasts versions of Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes. Metal Gear creator explains on Twitter which version is right for you. I'm not too sure what he's on about, but we're going to learn stuff together, dear listener. The Metal Gear Solid games are traditionally released on a single platform at launch, so there's, well, sort of. Single platform at launch, so there's usually no reason to wonder about which version to choose. In the case of Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, there are not only different platforms to choose from, but platforms from different generations to decide between. Thanks to the game coming to the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360, having been asked which version is the right one for certain people, series creator Hideo Kojima took on Twitter over the weekend to answer that very question. He says, "I've been asked which version you should buy. The feel of play and impressions similar as if the feel of play and impressions similar and as if Jesus Christ, hate it when he you know, they try and copy it from the Japanese. It doesn't, what they're using, fucking Google Translate. But yeah, it's been made multi-platform, multi-gen this time. Kojima tweeted yesterday. Sense of realism. Jesus, they literally just copied his tweet straight for, you know, fuck it. Sense of realism and graphics looks, jeez, I should get Merce to read this. Sense of realism and graphics looks much better in next gen. No shit. So I'd say current gen for those who can't buy next gen and yet an upgrade later. Well, that's pretty stupid. He went on to state that each platform has will have its own set of world rankings for mission results. Yay, rankings, they mean bugger all to nobody. Considering that most of the stuff these days when it comes to sort of rankings gets hacked by people. I mean, you've only got to look on the the ratings and stuff for stuff like Call of Duty. It's like, well, yeah, someone's had like 1,000 kills, but no deaths, and it's like minus numbers, and it just looks weird and stupid. It's all broken. But yeah, this is aside from the exclusive content we know about, be otherwise largely identical as Kojima added. The feel of play and difficulty levels are the same as we consider slight differences. Slight difference parts found in each hardware controls of frame rates. Ground Zero is essentially the prologue to Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. The full version of Metal Gear 5 being split into two games has been explained by Kojima as being a result of the release of the PlayStation 4. Ground Zero is set to release next March in North America and Europe. In addition to the nicer visuals that Kojima mentioned, the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 will be at... That's not bad, actually. It's a decent price. $29.99 in dollars and pounds. Also, carry a premium over the 360 and PS3 versions, which will be just under $20 and under 20 quid, which... That's not bad, actually, considering, how much we're going to get for the Phantom Pain and, for the Phantom Pain as well as, you know, what that will cost when it comes out. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to Ground Zeroes. I mean, it's not going to be the first PlayStation 4 game I buy. Watch Dogs is. But, you know, I am looking forward to seeing what it's going to be like when it comes out. But, I mean, I am slightly pissed that, you know, as you all know, Kiefer Sutherland's voicing Big Boss and not David Hayter like it should be. But I don't know, maybe I'm still waiting on some stuff on that. It seems a bit awkward. It irks me. It niggles at me. It really does. It just pisses me off. It's like, yeah, you have all these voice actors who've been doing it for years who know what the fuck they're doing, but then you get someone like, you know, like Kiefer Sutherland. You know, not the greatest actor in the world. Yeah, I mean, I suppose he did okay with the 24 stuff, but, you know, I think I got a ball of that about 6 hours in. But, yeah, I'll talk about Saints Row earlier, but this is some stuff on the new game, I think. Voice actor working on new Saints Row game. Yeah, the new one. Jay Moore, previously voiced Saints Row 2's Dane Vogel. American actor and stand-up comedian Jay Moore claims to be working on a new Saints Row game. Moore was previously voiced Saints Row 2's Dane Vogel, said on Twitter this week, about to do my voiceover work for a new Saints Row video game. It is unclear if a new Saints Row game is already in development or whether Volition is working on more DLC for Saints Row 4, which was released in August. The studio has launched two expansion packs for the last entry for the latest entries in the series. That's close. October we got Enter the Dominatrix, and this month we got How the Saints Save Christmas. Both packs are for about £8, €9, just under €10, and probably just under $10. And they mentioned the season pass, so you can pick that up. But just, I don't think I have my copy anymore of Saints Row. Sort of done with it, finished with it. But yeah, if Jay Moore's doing some more DLC, that'd be nice. I can't even remember his character. I mean, I think, you know, I did really well on Saints Row 2. I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think about, you know, who his character was. I can't remember. But no, it doesn't matter anyway. Let's find something else. Okay. Yes. Here we go. This is like I was going to talk about last week, but I completely forgot. This is from IGN. Next Mass Effect game described as a fresh but familiar. A BioWare employee has described the upcoming Mass Effect game as fresh but recognisable. According to a tweet from Aaron Flynn, the GM at Montreal and Edmonton-based studios behind Mass Effect and Dragon Age, the game seems to be more on to be not only be only be, shit assed. The game seems to be not only playable but also ambitious, beautiful, fresh but recognisable, and fun. On November 7th or N7 Day. God, I can't, you know, it pisses me off that sort of stuff. And when people do the May 4th for Star Wars, it's like, yeah, fuck off. You know, employees from BioWare revealed some images and teasers about the upcoming games set in the Mass Effect universe. Other than that, info about the next game in the Mass Effect saga has been sparse. But if the game is this far along, it seems we would like to hear something from BioWare early next year. I would say so. I haven't had a chance to look at the images, but I will do that afterwards. Mass Effect, I mean, I'm a big, you know, Mass Effect is, it's the game that got me buying an Xbox 360. It's a great, I mean, to be honest, it's basically the same people who made the Knights of the Old Republic game back in the day for the original Xbox. But yeah, I mean, I'm a big Mass Effect fan. I'm a big fan of the series. I mean, if they're as far along as it says in the article, then come E3, we might get a trailer. I mean, shit, if they are that far along, it could be out for next Christmas. If not, possibly sometime next year. 2015, I mean. You know, maybe early 2015, maybe late 2015. I mean, to be honest, I'm going to say, I'm going to make some predictions. I'm going to say if the game does come out, I reckon we'll get it towards the end of 2015. Maybe sort of the holiday time. Because considering that they'll probably say something like, it'll be out, I don't know, Q1, maybe late Q1, maybe early Q2 for 2015. But I reckon it'll probably be delayed. Because they want to put some more polish onto it, and it'll be out, the end of 2015, I reckon. That's my thought. But you know, more Mass Effect, you know, well, I mean, I can't even put any predictions on it because literally I don't know, and none of us do. But they're saying it's going to be pretty good, so we just have to, we just have to see. What happens when they show it to us? You know, when that will be, we don't know. Fuck off with the pop-ups. Jesus Christ, it's fucking things. This is from IGN. GTA Online gets its first Rockstar verified player mode. Player made jobs. After releasing creation tools earlier this month that allow players to make their own content, Rockstar is now beginning to put its stamp of approval on a selected number of player-created jobs in Grand Theft Auto Online. For the first round of approval, 10 jobs created by players can now claim to be officially Rockstar-verified jobs. The benefits of this are twofold. These high-quality jobs can now get more attention from the online community, and they become available for play on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, regardless of which platform they were originally designed for. GTA Online players are free to play any player-created jobs, whether or not they have been given a thumbs up by Rockstar. But this increases the visibility of high-quality content. First batch of 10 jobs was announced today and consists of 6 races and 4 death matches. Rockstar verified jobs will retain their original names except in cases where Rockstar is forced to change them because of copyright or taste issues. More jobs will be deemed Rockstar verified in the coming weeks. and months ahead. According to Rockstar, it doesn't look as if we've had any trouble finding jobs to evaluate. Rockstar says more than 1 million jobs have already been created by players, and an impressive figure considering the tools for creating jobs are in beta and have been available for three weeks. Yeah, that sounds fun-ish, to be honest. I think about you know, from what I heard from Far Cry 3, they were doing a similar sort of thing with their you know, create a map sort of stuff, where you know, there was ones that were going to get approval by I can't remember who made Far Cry 3, but yeah, they were going to get approval from the company, from the developers, and you know, they would get like some special stamp. But you know, it's nice that these jobs are getting verified, you know, create your own job sort of stuff. But you know, they just, instead of worry about this sort of stuff, this sort of like nothing topic, like, you know, just hurry up and make the heists. Because I mean, I know, listen to Royce and Mitch go on about, you know, they want to do heists and stuff, but just, you know, get on with it, basically. Here we go. Yeah, Telltale reveals how Borderlands, how Borderlands game came about. Telltale has revealed how its upcoming collaboration with Gearbox and the Tales from the Borderlands came about. In an interview with Polygon, the studio's senior vice president of publishing, Steve Allison, explained it happened at the Spike VGAs last year, and alcohol was certainly involved. Of course it was. Usually is. He says, we were backstage at the 2012 Spike VGAs, and the and Gearbox was sitting at table one, and we were sitting at table two. We were there for The Walking Dead, and he explained, we got to talking a little bit, and I don't remember when it became, we should do this thing, now, but it happened over a few cocktails. We could have easily left it and chalked it up to too much tequila, but we followed up when we got home, and they remember the conversation. The Borderlands universe has so much story potential, especially when you get to the end of Borderlands 2 and you see the big reveal. Yeah, there's so much stuff that can go on. All these great characters, there's a narrative there in Borderlands 2, but it serves a certain purpose, and we can serve a different purpose with it for fans of the franchise. Tales of the Borderlands won't be a shooter, and was announced earlier this month at the VGX Awards. I love how it used to be the Spike VGAs, now it's the VGX. What the fucking... Ugh, jeez. They're working on the Game of Thrones project, you know, for multi-year deal, you know, fucking Game of Thrones, dozens of books, you know, whatever, no one gives a shit. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, I can see this game being basically, I'd like it to be a sort of, like a joiner between Borderlands 2 and 3, you know, what happens after, you know, basically, you know, Handsome Jack is dead. I mean, yes, I know I spoke earlier about Tiny Tina's DLC. What happens after that, how they get to where it is they're going to go to next in the story, and whatever planet they're going to go on to, and you know, that sort of stuff, and we'll wait and see. I mean, I know we'll have pretty much more of the same. You know, basically everyone takes off in a giant spaceship, and well, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, this is Karen Reynolds' article. This is an internal meeting. The studio saw the team. Says, look, these things we want to work on, and the most important things there are what we are passionate about. After that, we ask, is there enough of an audience at the end of the day? That would play this thing, and they say, well, we want franchises that are really difficult to translate into traditional gaming. We don't want to make another Walking Dead first-person shooter. Nobody wants to work Walking Dead first-person shooter, even the one that did came out. What works with the franchises? We have it. Jesus Christ! I hate it when they do word for word. They just sort of, you know, change it a little bit. Yeah, they have the characters, the story, the drama, relationships. We look for franchises that are huge and have all those elements. It took a year to seal the deal, but now the real hard work is about to begin when they make the game. But yeah, I mean, I want something set, you know, after Borderlands 2 as a, you know, but as a in between bit. Like, I'm sort of thinking about how we got with Dead Rising 2. We got Dead Rising K-Zero. Basically, it was, you know, Chuck looking after his daughter, and you get to that small little town, you can earn some XP to take into the main game. Something like that, basically. And then we can do something that will transition over to the main Borderlands. It will be, you know, I mean, there's so many developers and stuff out there. I mean, you know, Ratchet & Clank does it with its, you know, it carries over the save data from previous games to, you know, to recognize it so that you get small bolts or you get special weapons because you've played the previous games, that sort of stuff. I mean, I'd love something like that, to be honest. What else we got? Let's have a look. I'm not too fussed about, I'm interested, I do need to pick up the Walking Dead season 2. I need to pick that up. I'll probably do that next year when it's on sale or something, sometime around Halloween. You know, I know that'll be a big contender for next year's game of the year. Once it's all out on that is, so there's no point in me doing it now anyway. Let's have a look. Here we go. Yeah, this might be interesting. This is from Games Radar. This is coming out literally at the end of November. Ironically, we need greater competition among sports games. This week's news that EA has cancelled plans to release any future entries in the FIFA Manager series raised a wider debate about the lack of healthy competition in the sports genre. In an open letter to fans, FIFA Manager founder and designer Gerald Kohler cited a number of reasons for the very tough decision to axe the PC series, which would piss off my mate because he's a big fan of this stuff, which has been running around running annually since 2001. Chief among them was the fact that the one game has particularly dominated the market in recent years. He's not so subtly calling out Sega's Football Manager series, while the large number of people buying and illegally downloading FIFA Manager's chief rival, not to mention the series' relatively high review. Relatively high review scores suggested that Sega's offering may be the best, better product. The thing when it comes to managing games, there's only so much you can do with the simulation stuff because it's all pretty much the same anyway. I don't know, but whatever. The disappearance of a competitor to keep Football Manager developer Sports Interactive on its toes isn't good for the games industry or for the players. I think players give a shit. The football management subgenre may be a relatively small part of the overall sports market. It's like the fantasy stuff, you know, fantasy football, you know, whatever, fantasy tiddlywinks. But a lack of healthy competition has become evident in other areas too. I can't speak for all these sports, but for me, this has been particularly notable on virtual basketball courts and football fields. Yeah, well, it's the fact that, you know, EA bought out the rights to every damn thing, which is why you only get, you know, one American football game a year. EA is trying to pull back on the NBA stuff, but it's, you know, really the 2K team that are doing the best for the basketball. I think there's only one person who makes the baseball games, and there's a couple of football games, but, you know, you play what you used to. EA has dropped the ball on multiple occasions over the past few years while attempting to keep pace with 2K's consistently excellent NBA 2K basketball series, which is basically what I said. Following relative mediocrity of NBA Live 10, EA attempted to reboot its basketball offering with NBA Elite 11, but the game was cancelled shortly before releasing following development problems and bad publicity. Yeah, because the demo was terrible and the game was a mess. EA set the next year out, but vowed to come back with something stronger in 2012 with a new challenge in the form of NBA Live 13. However, in eerie similar fashion to NBA Elite 11, the game was canned at the last minute due to quality concerns. This year, EA managed to push NBA Live 14 out the door. Perhaps it shouldn't have. In stark contrast to NBA 2K 14, the game was slammed by most critics. And despite EA's promise to release a series of updates designed to make shit, I'm stuttering. To make drastic improvements, buyers are right to feel short-changed. EA is better equipped than most to usurp a market leader, as now defunct former UFC publisher THQ would attest. But after its latest failed basketball comeback, might the publisher opt to relocate resources instead? If so, 2K Games could begin resting on its laurels at the very best. Yeah, basically, you know, unless there's something to nip at the heels of 2K, 2K when it comes to the basketball stuff, they could basically do what EA's been doing with the sports games, make the same shit a year and after year. But, you know, that's the thing. That unless there's a competition, people will get lazy and we just get the same shit year after year, which is basically what we've got with Madden, what we've got with FIFA. But, I don't know. I mean, this article goes on and on and makes comparisons between FIFA and Pro Evolution Soccer and, you know, that sort of stuff. But it's, I don't know. Oh, JJ's in the chat. He says, fuck EA, Battlefield 4 is the worst worst programmed good game I've ever played. He says, what I can get to work and can play is good. Problems is single player and constantly drops game saves, and multiplayer doesn't seem to have doesn't save very well. It's a clusterfuck. In a year where Call of Duty Ghosts was terrible and all around bad game, all Battlefield has to do is make a working copy, and they fuck the pooch and lazy program the worst game save game. Yeah. Basically, it's the same problems that, well, I mean, that's the thing with Battlefield. It's got so much hype and, you know, people talking about it. It just fucks itself over. But yeah, I mean, you know, my mate at work's been talking about, you know, he got Battlefield and both Call of Duty Ghosts for Christmas, and, you know, I know, whatever. You know, a few months ago I was actually tempted to buy both of these, but I'm sort of glad I kept my money in my pocket, to be honest. But yeah, this pretty much brings the show for a close and, end of the year. I will be back sometime in the new year once I've finished my little project. And hopefully by then I will have a lovely PlayStation 4. Well, if the price goes down. Hopefully by this time next year I'll have, I will have an Xbox One as well. But yeah, JJ's saying that Dead Rising 3, on the other hand, is the best next-gen, the best next-gen game on either system, which is basically why I haven't seen it as a game of the year for many of the other, gaming sites that I follow. But yeah, I say this pretty much brings this show to a close for this year and, for the next couple of months until I come back. But don't forget, facebook.com/group/ Antisocial Game Radio, at MNR Game Radio on Twitter. What else we got here? Email us, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Yeah, we're everywhere. MoreLikeRadio.com. I like all the shows. Happy New Year, everyone, and I will see you in a couple of months. Take care, people.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can...
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
Area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor. I mean,